I am going to start this episode by playing you something. Here we go.
Hey guys, welcome to Knocked Up and Broke. My name is Vanessa. Vanessa Rachel or Mama Mari. Yes. For those who don't know what Knocked Up and Broke is about, Knocked Up and Broke.
This is Vanessa.
I got knocked up.
The first time I saw Vanessa was on a YouTube channel run by the now defunct startup called Zoomie. They used to produce lifestyle type of videos on YouTube. And I don't remember much, but I do know that in her videos, she was preparing herself for the journey as a single mom. And as you may have heard from this clip, a single broke mom.
So many people keep asking me, so how did you react? How are you? How was your reaction? And what were your fears when you got pregnant? For me personally, I had three main fears. And let me just start with the least, the one that people don't really think of as a big deal. For me personally, it was one, my bump, showing that I was actually pregnant. Like, I didn't go through the whole experience of enjoying my bump.
Because now, that clip isn't from the videos I watched, but rather a series that she started by herself on her own channel once her baby boy was born. When I watched her back then, there was something quite special about her. Her life was about to drastically change, and instead of hiding in a corner, panicking, she was sharing her panic with us. Her son is 3.5 years old now. And I got a chance to sit with her and take her back to those early days of her journey to understand what it must have felt like to be knocked up and broke. Let's go back to when you discovered you are going to be a mom. What was going on in your life at that point?
Wow, me, Vanessa, before Amari was a party girl. I was all about living it up, like, where are we going, where are we, what, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was, I mean, it's something that just happened, like, just like that, you know, like, of course, you know the process and everything, but of course we didn't, I didn't expect that. But I remember just, like, when I missed my period and I was just there, like, I just remember thinking, I am definitely pregnant. And I just thought, you know what? I remember I called my friend and my friend came over and she brought me the pregnancy test. And I was just like, she kept telling me, Vanessa, you can't be pregnant. You're not pregnant. And she was insistent. And I was like, dude, I'm telling you, I will not be surprised if I am. I took the test and I saw it, and the first thing that came to my mind was, there's no way I'm keeping this child. I'm incapable of keeping a child. I was just 23. I was working at the time, but still, you know, you've not even started figuring your finances out. You're young. You still want to go out. You still want to live your life. I didn't understand what that responsibility would mean, especially just apart from babysitting and being a firstborn. What else did I know? So I actually did go to, I don't know if I should say this, but I looked at my options. Let me just say I looked at my options and I was strongly, I was sure that that was not the path that I was going to go. But I got the confidence to do so because actually the same day that, like, when I say I was sure, like, I literally went to the clinic. I was like, now this is this and that. And, you know, you're given, like, the pills and all that. And I was like, yeah, this is it. Weirdly enough, well, let me just say it's God, because I'm a strong believer in God. A lady called me on that day, and she used to be, like, my spiritual mentor, someone who prays for me a lot. And she just told me, Vanessa, where are you? And I'm like, oh, I'd gone to the hospital. I was not feeling well. And she's like, Vanessa, I know you're pregnant. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, how did you know? And it was so creepy, and I was standing at the car park at my workplace at the time, and I just looked up and I just said, shit. And she said, I'm asking you, please don't do what you are going to do. You will have everything. God will provide for you. You just have to trust him. And I was like, and my family, I was not, I was lucky enough that I was staying by myself. I would only imagine it would have been worse if I was in my mom's care or at home, you know. But still telling them and making that decision to tell them was a really hard one. So of course I told their dad, and the dad was just like, wait, what? Of course for him it was also like a shock, like, okay. But yeah, so that transition to telling my mom and everyone, like I remember I just called her on the phone and I told her, hey, I need to tell you something. It was like at 11, and I told her at night on a Saturday night because I knew on Sunday she was going to church. So I wanted it to be synced so that she gets the news then. Then on Sunday, maybe God will give her the grace. I was so nervous, and I remember telling her, she was just like so confused. She was like, wait, what? What did you say? I'm like, I'm pregnant. She's like, what? I'm like, I'm pregnant. She's like, okay, you know what? Let me just talk to you tomorrow. And I was like, good, get that church effect. And it did work because she called me after. She was like, you know what? You're pregnant. Fine. We'll talk about it. We'll be there for you and all that stuff. Yeah. And that started my journey.
Yeah, wow. Okay. So you say you were living by yourself at that exact point. How did you reconcile this fact that there's a child that's going to be coming soon and you kind of need to figure things out?
So honestly, for me, a lot of the things that I did, I was just like a freelance. It's just, first of all, I was living in this tiny one bedroom house at Jamhuri, where like my walls were tiled, literally the place had tiles. Like I was just staying there because of convenience. My sitting room did not even have, it only had a couch. And I didn't have a couch and an internet box, the router. That was it. My bedroom was just a single bed, a small single bed. Like I didn't even have the you know the how women like decorating, buying curtains, all that stuff. Like that was not me. I was just never the kind of girl who was like, oh, one day I can only imagine myself being married, settling down with kids. Like I just didn't have a sense of direction. So, because now at my age is when I realized 23 is really young. Like when I see 23-year-olds and the kind of decisions they make and what they do, I'm like, whoa, 23 was actually young. So thinking about the fact that now I have to turn my house and, you know, into a home and or do all these things was frightening and was so scary because now I was wondering, okay, how am I going to do it? So I was going for my clinics, and to be honest, throughout my pregnancy, I think I was just winging it. Like I had nothing figured out. I was there in that house till the last like 2 weeks before I delivered. I moved back home for a bit. Then I ended up staying with my grandma the first 6 months because her and I really have like a good relationship. So she's the one who helped me through that. But then you come to realize that you can't be able to raise your child easily and freely, especially with relatives. Like it didn't work out for me. Because you're not able to get that respect that people are looking at you like you're still a child, like you don't know what you're doing, you know? And then they are in your business. So the decisions that you're making, like for example, for me, a lot of my relationship, especially like me trying to figure out my relationship with my son's dad, it was hard because you also have your family telling you, no, this is not how you're supposed to do it. Then there's culture. In our culture, this guy has not done A, B, C, D. So you try to do the best for your child, but there are so many other factors. Yeah, and so many voices. So making decisions for yourself, you can't. Then now it hit me, I had to move. So I looked for a place, and it was, you know, now you're looking for a place and on a tight budget. And mind you, well, after I gave birth, the company I was working for shut down. it's the startup, it was called Zoomi. And it was like, yeah, so now guys, we are no longer going to be here. And I remember it was a month of November, and I was just thinking, what the, and I had just moved out. So I had just moved out, and I'm like, okay, I'm like, God, are you trying to tell me something? Like, do I go back? What do I do? And I do say God is faithful, because they referred me, those bosses referred me to another company that I joined. And though I ended up not exactly liking that company, it was a stepping stone to something else. But during that period, it was insane. Like, first of all, you're in a home. This house is not furnished. I have a house help. I have to now run a program with, like, I'm from a place where a small gas for, could last 6 months. Like, gas would dish at home, and I'm like, when I was a single person, when I was not a mom, and I would be like, ah, I'll just go eat a smoky and I'm done. But now it's like, exactly. I'm like, what is this? Gas is shut. It was such a shock. I'm like, gas in Asia after 2 months. Like, how? So you're like, okay, so many things hit you, start hitting you, because like no one has prepared you. No one has told you need to be putting money aside in case of, gas issue, in case something gets spoilt in the house. And that was the beginning of my character development.
Gosh, let's delve into that character development. These are the struggles that come, and then you're like, what did I get myself into here?
That's the thing, yeah. Like, it's like there's so many factors, and I know it sounds like a cliche though, but I don't think personally what I've learned to be right now, I would not be if I didn't have my son. That's like a fact. I'd probably still be the version of you guy, my guy, but a girl version, But the transformation has been so painful also, because like I said, for example, every area of my life changed. So when we talk about money, that time I was at a job where the money I was getting would have been enough if it was me by myself. Because now you needed, before I was in a one bedroom, now you need 2 bedroom. So you're in an area where you don't even necessarily like it, but it's cheaper. So at least you have the extra space. So you decide, you know what, I'm going to, I grew up in the city. Now I'm like, have to make the decision to now live a bit further, because you also don't want to go to a place that's super crowded and everything. So make that decision. Now there's running the household. Like I said, your gas has issued. Now what do we do? There's food. There's the fact that now you have to plan and say every tomato, every onion, every everything. And I remember at that time, the house help that I had, since she was my first house help, she basically ruled me because I didn't know nothing. I didn't know nothing. And she was a mom, so we were almost the same age, but she knew more. So maybe I'd even give her cash, and then she would easily just be like, me, acha niongeze tu sijui 30 bob, blah, blah, blah. And then there's a time, I remember she was buying stuff like vegetables. There's a time I passed that vegetable place, and they were like, hiki tu ni 10 bob. I'm like, wait, what? Mildred has been telling me this thing is 30 bob. So, so that's when you realize the first character development, you have to be hands-on. Like, this is now your home. This is now your space. You have to be hands-on. This is not your sister. This is not your auntie. This is not, this is you. So that was my first painful lesson. And that I also learned even with relatives and everyone else. Like, this journey is very personal. And no matter how much people help you or try to, you're the only one who can do it right most of the time. So I understood that, and that was also a painful experience, because there were some mini arguments here and there. Relatives were like, oh, now look, she's pregnant, that kind of thing. So you also have to deal with that.
It's so sad when a lot of that kind of backtalk comes from people who know you very well. who should be like your safe space, but they end up just making it so much worse. How do you even handle that? Like, how did you get over that fact and possibly not hold any resentment, if at all you did?
Ooh, I did. I definitely had resentment for days, like 4 days, because I think the first step was definitely moving and going and deciding to do my own thing. And of course, when I decided to do that, everyone was just like, there were a lot of guys who were like, mngoja kwanza aende uone, aone venye maisha iko. You know, like you'll always have that thing of this chick has not known life. So now she will know how things are, you know. And there are so many of that, especially when you're a single mom or you're in a situation like that where everyone is just like, eh, and you're young. So everyone is just like, eh, ngoja aone life huku, sio rahisi. So for me, I think I was so determined to prove otherwise. And I just decided, let me go into my own space and let me learn. Let me do my own learnings. So, like I said, from there on, I learned, okay, I have to be responsible for this house help and I have to be hands-on. So money-wise, I learned how to start budgeting. Money-wise, I realized I have to really work hard. Like, it's not an option. I have to have 2 to 3 sources of income. I kind of alienated myself for some time because now I was like, I have to figure this out. Yeah, with money, I had to be smarter. With people, I had to realize like it's my own journey, because then there's the issue of being also alienated by your friends, because you're 23 again. Your friends, most of them don't have kids, and you're also not as financially stable. So, you know, you have to prioritize. Like, I mean, will I be hanging out with my friends or will I buy diapers now? You know. So you look at them on the gram and you're like, oh my God, my life, this is horrible, you know? And you wish to have more of them coming to support you. But you realize at the time that no one's life stops because you've had a child. You know, like no one will, and no one is responsible to, like, people visit you, they come and they leave you. And they have to keep rolling. And there's that point I remember feeling like I'm so envious of these people, you know. Like I was just thinking, oh my gosh, these guys are living it up. They're okay. They're happy. They're going out. You know, you have this sense of, man, I wish I could just pause all this and be that again. It's having the expectation too high, thinking that. But, you know, it's not, I think for me personally, I know that if one of my closest friends had a baby, I would definitely, now that I have a child, I would know what she needs. Sometimes I think they just don't know what you need, because one of the most annoying things that used to happen would be my friends would visit and some would be too scared to hold a Mari. So I'm like, so what are you doing here? I'm like, because I'm like, I mean, really, like, the best gift you can ever give a mom, especially with a newborn, is a gift of time. But the gift, you're not just sitting there mark-timing, like you're trying to help, you know, help. Because I, for the first 3 months with Amari, there was no nanny. So I used to wake up early, have to wash his clothes, and maybe I've slept at like 4:30 a.m. during my maternity leave, you know. Then at that point, you breastfeed. At times, I would just be like, you know what? I'm not even going to eat, because if I eat, I have to wash the dishes. So if I have to wash the dishes, let me just, like, not eat. And you're also breastfeeding at that time. And then your friends come, and on top of it, are like, oh my gosh, he's so small. I can't hold him. And there was only one who was a friend of mine who's a mom, and I felt so good because she came and held him for some time. And I was like, yes, this now makes sense. This is what I need. I need more of you.
We will be back with Vanessa's story after this short message. Like all normal people, I'm not super fond of ads. They sneak up on me on my social media feeds. They're there on every website I visit. And let's not even talk about ads on YouTube. However, the only place I don't seem to mind ads is on podcasts. I know. I might sound biased because I happen to have a podcast and I am selling ad space. But some of the most useful products or services I have invested in have come from podcast ads. For example, I built my website using Squarespace. And that's because I had it over and over again on a podcast that I love. And I appreciated the offer given when ultimately I decided to build a website. All I can say as a consumer is that podcast ads work. I don't really know the science behind them, but I know that they're very effective. So I'm opening up this space to business owners, small or big, to advertise with me and get your product or service in the ears of women and mothers all across the country and beyond. Reach me on email at mamatillspod@gmail.com or fill in the handy dandy form linked in the show notes of this episode. What type of support did you have, if at all any?
I was at my grandma's, yeah, but the fact that I was at her place, you know, she would help me a lot, especially at night here and there, but still, just to maybe if he was crying too much, then she'd just tell me, okay, you know, let me hold him, this is how you hold him, like that. But most of the time, especially daytime, even at night, it was just the two of us. I can't tell you, for the life of me, my eyes were just dark because of, you know, like you've not been sleeping. And then at the same time, there was a clash because my grandma, obviously being older, would be like, just let the baby cry. You know, you don't have to stop what you're doing so that you come and attend to him. Like, just finish, like atazoea. So we had a lot of those like clashes where, and I was confused because I'm like, is that how it's supposed to be done? You know? And I remember those opinions and of just feeling like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm being too soft. And it's a newborn. Looking back now, I'm just like, what? You know, if I knew what I know now, I would have just been like, shh. And I would probably have moved out even soon. I would have stayed by myself, to be honest, because I would rather have been by myself during maternity leave with my son than, you know, going back and forth like that. Although it helped me learn and all that, it still was kind of stressful.
So you've talked about his dad at least knowing that, you know, he's here and all that stuff, right? And you guys trying to work things out. So how did that go? Were you able to form some sort of relationship with him?
Wow, let me say, that has been an area of my life that has developed drastically, because I look at my posts from that time and now, and it's like two different people, because that time I was so bitter. And it's so obvious, because those days I think I used to be like, baby daddies are trash, baby daddies are this, you know, baby daddies, I mean... I could have said it, I hate baby daddy's club, you know, like that kind of thing. And also bitter, but I was mostly bitter, one, because I could see his life was going on, and he knew, and he actually he was there, and he didn't deny that was his son and whatnot. But of course, there are so many other details that usually, of course, that causes pain and all that. And I just remember thinking from the day I gave birth, going through that labor, going through all these things. First of all, having a baby with somebody you didn't really anticipate that you would ever have. Like, we knew each other, we were, you know, on and off here and there, blah, 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 friends and all that. But, I mean, I'm just like, no, it was not supposed to be you. and here we are, it's that kind of thing. But for me, it was, one, you're not together. So, of course, you know, you're there breastfeeding and all that, and you're just thinking, wow, this guy is not even, he's just living his best life. That's one. Two, there are so many things, like especially when it comes to finances, that you're not sure how are we supposed to be doing this? Because are we supposed, I wish there's like that the government should just give a guideline, like an official one, that says, moms, if you're in this type of situation, you need to be doing 40% or 50% or 60%, and just jot it down without people having to go through a long route. Because the truth of the matter is, many times, especially when you're trying to figure out co-parenting, one person will be shortchanged. For me, I felt I was obviously the person who was shortchanged. So, because I'm like, here I am trying to figure out my bills, trying to do ABCD. You've taken one responsibility, run with it, and you call yourself a father. Like, that used to really irritate me. Like, why? How? Because for me, you see, when you're co-parenting, and I realize the dynamics might be like that for a really long time, because at the end of the day, you can't compare two people who are staying together and attend to their needs of their child while they're together. You know, like you notice this child is sick, you or me, we need to do something about it. But what the first line of authority will always be me. The first person to take action will always be me. So there are so many things that it was just like I'm irritated. Most of the time, I was just like, I hate this, I hate that. And then, of course, there are feelings of anger, like, why couldn't it just, let's now work this out. Let's try and be something. Let's just maybe be a family, you know, for the sake of this child. Because the truth of the matter is, you actually start thinking that there's no way in this life I'm ever going to get into a relationship because I have a child. So you kind of end up putting all your hope in this one person. So I had a period of time where I was more or less waiting for this change to happen, waiting for us to be this lovely picket fence kind of family. So you have the expectation. Then when you realize that, wait, I'm waiting for this guy to be the one who will be able to help me even with the finances. I'm waiting for this guy to, you know, stop being you guy, my guy. Because you see me, I had to stop being you girl, my girl. I'm like, I'm also waiting for you to grow up so that we can grow up together and continue this journey. And when that doesn't happen and you're even drifting farther and farther apart, you become resentful, you become so bitter, and you have expectations. And then that's what now that I went through that for a long period, I think for like a year. And I remember talking, like people talking to me and telling me, at least wewe ako hapo, or at least, and I'm like, guys, you need to stop comparing the from the worst, because one person is from the worst. You're comparing the worst from the, like, taking the best from the worst. I'm like, your standards are so low that you allow yourself to compare. I'm like, why don't you compare to fathers who are ever present, ever consistent, ever, you know? I'm like, me, I don't want to be told that. I don't want to be told that you know, at least him he comes, or at least yeye hata yuko wangu alienda. Like, dude, that's not what we are comparing to. Yeah, we're not going to compare a father to a runaway deadbeat. We're going to compare him to the best dads we know, because that's how it's supposed to be. So coming back to fast forward, I think I realized mtoto ni wangu. Going back to what I said again, you realize again, this is you. And I'm not now going to wait for so and so to come and help me. If I'm not going to, he's not going to do ABCD, I have to do ABCD. And so I started having more of a me mentality, and I'm a single mother mentality. I'm not going to wait for anyone, or especially, you know, for the father to step up and do ABCD. I just said, from now on, I realized, first of all, you grieve. You have to grieve this family you've never had. You have to grieve and accept that this is a situation. And once I started letting go and accepting that this is not going to work, So I also stopped trying to now enable or try to. I decided I'm going to be responsible for my relationship with my son, and he will have to be responsible for his relationship with his son. And that if he didn't want to, or if he didn't, because you know what happens is because of the fear of being left alone, you sort of end up trying to enable so much. So you're like, oh, you're the one who's like a secretary. You're like, when are you picking him up? When are you're picking up your weight and his weight. And if you're going to pick up his weight, do you think he's going to be like, oh, stop helping me, I can do it? So I decided I will pick my weight because my weight is heavy. I will stop trying to enable. I will stop playing the secretary role, and I will play my role, which is being a mother, which is a lot, and I will do it to my best. And as soon as I started doing that, I started looking for another job. I remember I was now really, really just decided, let me do something about my life. And let me just stop holding on to this string of hope that this might take a turn. So I started applying for a job. I remember it was during COVID time, which was the best time for me because then I was able to stay home and work for, take care of Amari as well. Decided I'm going to start looking for a job. I know a job. I know we're in COVID time, but I don't care. The space that I'm in, the industry I'm in was growing. So I loved it during that time. So I decided, let me get into it. So I started applying every day. I'd apply to like 5 jobs a day. 5 jobs, 5 jobs. And finally, I remember getting like 5 interviews in 1 week. I had 5 job interviews within like I think 4 months of just applying. So I went, and then it got me to the job I'm in now, which I'm grateful for because it was a more traditional place with, insurance and all that. And that got Amari covered also. So I started doing things, and instead of complaining and waiting, I just started saying, "Let me, I have to take charge and control of my own and my son's destiny without having the expectation that this guy and I are going to sit down and probably have a plan." And I think that was the game changer because even for him, I think he now realized that, okay, wait. Yeah, so I was like, I'm no longer like bringing him to you. You have to meet him. You have to be the one to come pick him up, do ABCD. And that's how I think things shifted. Things started shifting. Co-parenting is not an easy thing, especially when it happens with somebody not necessarily, the bestest of friends. But because a child likes this person and loves the both of you, you figure it out, and you have to.
You think you'd be able to recognize the person you are now, say 4 years ago?
Ooh, no, I don't think so. I just don't think so completely. I really don't know what my plan was, to be honest. I look at what I was getting. Like, I have nothing to show from my past. Like, zero. And I started working pretty young. So I started earning pretty young also. And I can't tell you what I did with it. Like, when I think about it, I'm like, guy, when I said I bought a car. Not because I was earning so much, but just because it was enough for me. I could have done something with it. So now, me being me, I mean, I was those types by January 20th, I'm done. My salary is finished. And I've not saved a single coin. So you see, from I think every area of my life, you know how, like, I believe that everyone is like a circle. For example, let's say like a tire. And the tire has your relationships, it has your spiritual life. You have your family life, which is under relationships. You have your finances, your career, and your health. And I think if one of those gets a hole, then you start getting a slow puncture, right? I think the version of like 4 years ago, every part of it was just slow, apart from maybe the career bit, which again, it was not slow, but if I was not even saving money, surely what was it for? You know, apart from gaining skills, which I'm thankful for, but still, right now, if I look at my money or my money habits or finances, I plan, I save, you know, down to the last part where, like I said, the gas thing, I put money aside for emergencies, like even plumbing. So I put that, I bought a kabambe specifically for that. Something that I just send money to and let it stay there. I started saving for Amari's school fees, like for a whole year, like crazily. And I thank God because I had to look for another source of income. So in a day, I can have like up to like three jobs, three different jobs. So I'll start my day really early, like 4:30 or 4:15, so I can have a head start to start working. And one job is more or less like what I'd say that money is usually for, like entertainment and stuff, and buying some things for the house. The other one is just primarily for like savings, and then the other one is like for bills and having that safety net. So I would not have done that. The old version would definitely not have thought of, let me have. The old version would have, you know, like what is so funny, one of these jobs is like a writing job. Yeah, it's a writing job. And that one, I remember it used to take me even 2 months to finish 20 articles. Because it's like a freelance thing, right? But it pays you when you're done. So I remember now I can take a week. The motivation has changed because I'm like, if I don't do this, it will affect this other budget. And I don't want my entertainment to overlap with my savings or anything like that. And I definitely don't want my bills to, you know, I even round it up. The old version of me would say, I have to buy exactly a 2,000, you know, and that's it. If not, I'll even remove two, three items out of it. Back I think you're okay. Now it's like, to be safe, let me make sure my budget round it up to even 3K extra. So it's very realistic. Now my mind is more or less like plan. If I want to buy something and it's an expensive thing, I have a target. I must do A, B, C, D, and I must get it by this. So I can't even compare right now because yeah, the difference is serious, yeah.
At least it's a good indicator of growth. It's like by force, by fire, you had to be where you are now. So it's just coming towards the end of this, and I wanted to see if you have any words of advice to someone who might be in a similar situation or probably getting into it, and they're still in that point of darkness where they don't know what to do or where to turn to.
Right. I'd say one is it's not a disease. Bringing a child into this world is not, it's one of the most bravest things anyone can do. And it's not a plague, you know, it's not a disease. And I think people need to realize that motherhood can happen to even guys who are married. Yeah, guys who are married can decide to separate, and you end up being a single mom. Being a single mom is not, it's not a disease. That's one. Two, things do get better, and especially when you're determined to make it better. When you're determined to, you know, to get rid of the victim mentality of, you know me. I think a lot of single moms have a lot of trauma bonding. So the trauma bonding bit is, and I know that because I've been there, where you just want to talk about how horrible your baby daddies are. And it's a season you have to go through, where you do a lot of, oh my gosh, you know, my money, my this, my that, or like, oh, I'm so this, I'm so that, oh, I can't date, I can't, you know, all that stuff. And I would say, ensure that you surround yourself with people who believe in you and what you're doing and your vision for you and your child. Don't spend more time being with guys who are just trauma bonding. Every time you meet is just to talk about how horrible your baby daddy is, how horrible, you know, people are in this world, how life is so hard. You don't need that. You already know that. You need to be with guys. And now I'm surrounded by, most of my friends still don't have kids. But they really believe in me. They believe in what I'm trying to do for me and my son. They give me and send me opportunities, even extra opportunities. They can say, hey, apply here, do this, do that. They still think and still believe that I can do what I want to do if I want to do it. My child is not a limitation. Of course, they respect the space. They even say, like, if we're going somewhere, they know, like, we can go to a restaurant that has a playground. They're actively a part of my life. And they're not, there's no trauma bonding. So I don't have, I really protect that. And then, of course, most importantly for me, I think just pray. Really do pray. Because I genuinely am a believer in, from how I started this story, you obviously know why. My faith has really grown over time because things just, you get provision if you get it, and provision does come. That doesn't mean that you go around saying, oh, mtoto wako anakuja na sahani yake. Provision will come, but my friend, you'll work hard still. You'll definitely work. Exactly, it won't just show up, but you have to, and then also guard your mental space, guard your heart. And don't wait for a man to solve your problems. Don't start looking for a dude who's going to come and play dad. Don't look for a dude who's going to come and be like, let me pay for your bills and help you with your child. Your child is your responsibility. If you're blessed with a man who will love your son or your daughter, that's great. But remember, it is still your responsibility, and you're the only one who can protect your child the way they should be protected.
And thank Vanessa for sharing her story on the podcast and for you for listening and supporting the podcast all the way through. Happy Mother's Day in advance to all of you moms, mothers to be, moms whose babies are here and those whose babies are in heaven. I celebrate all of you. I'm very excited about Mother's Day this year because of what I'll be doing on the podcast. This year, I'll be inviting my mother onto the podcast and take some time to know her through her own motherhood journey. I think it's an interesting journey to embark on. Luckily, I'm not doing it alone. I stumbled upon a very interesting journal or book called My Remarkable Mom that has topics with questions for your mother that will allow you to get to really know them and bond. It has everything from questions on their upbringing, their parenting journey, to love and relationships, career, and everything in between. I found this book at the right time, just when I was thinking about my relationship with my mom. I shared the book with her and asked if we could record one of our journaling sessions, actually the very first one. And guess what? She agreed. So that will be the next episode I release. And on that note, I will also be running a giveaway for this book. So please follow me on Instagram at Mama Tills Podcast to get to know how to enter the giveaway. I think this book is brilliant and it's a really great way to truly understand your mom and form a relationship with an actual guide. So be on the lookout for that giveaway. Music in this episode by Blue Dot Sessions. Till next time, bye.